because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we just rejoice in you tonight, Lord. Truly, there's so many things that you have done, that you are doing, that you're going to do, Lord, and just pray that you, each one here tonight would be truly filled with that thankful heart, Lord, a heart of praise and adoration. And Lord, we do recognize you, the ways that you prove yourself, the ways that you move in our lives. Lord, you are very present in time of trouble. Lord, you're faithful. We just want to give you thanks tonight. We pray even as throughout the duration of the service that this praise would continue to just resound in our hearts, Lord, and that you would be magnified and exalted, and may the problems and the troubles and the trials of this life just begin to diminish and to fade, Lord, is our desire. Father, we just ask that you would come now. We know that you are here with us, and we pray that you would break bread again with us, commune with us, and be lifted up, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, musicians. My goodness, is that, it's quite the noise out there, isn't it? Quite the vibration, I should say. And the smoke. You know, just thinking of praise, too. The Bible talks about sacrifice of praise. And there are seasons where that is the case, you know. There are seasons when the praise comes easy. And then there's seasons where it is a sacrifice. And that's the time to praise him. That's the time to sing. That's the time to rejoice. So I don't know about you guys. We had a good day, a wonderful day. The Lord was with us. We had a few little emergencies, but they were little emergencies. And everything's okay. So thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I'm hearing a little bit of a thing. Is that just me? Okay. And by the way, this may not last too long. It's warm. I'm just going to warn you. So, all right. Well, tonight I just have some things in my heart to pray that, again, I'm just counting on the Lord that this will be something that he can just help me with. And as I was just in prayer and things, I just kept going back to the open book, the seventh seal. Couldn't get away from it, and just savoring these things and meditating on these things. And so I'm going to just go into some things that the Lord put on my heart, and just trust that it'll help us, that it'll be a blessing. I think some things that are maybe familiar to some, but maybe new to others, and that's what I'm hoping for, is that it's helps us all. So with that, let's just go ahead and stand with a couple of scriptures. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. And verse 13. We know this passage, of course, but Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said it unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Just want to pause there for a minute. So, children, everybody, two questions. Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? again, verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen. Now over to John chapter 1. We're just going to drop down to one verse here. Again, something I've been holding in my heart, savoring a lot lately. It's verse 12, John 1, verse 12. It says, But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Okay, God bless you. You can be seated. And again, just thinking on these things, I think you guys can... I'm so blessed because as I look around, you know, the world in this season, I'm seeing more and more ministries around the world, and I feel like there's maybe you're seeing some of the same things being preached across the world, and it's beautiful. We know the bride has to come. We're all going to come to the unity of the faith. And I think, I hope, I believe we're starting to see some unity, and you're starting to see some of these same themes in the same word, and I think it's unfolding more, and I think it just gets more precious all the time. I don't know about you, but I don't know of anything that quite attracts us or excites us or thrills us in this moment quite like the seventh seal and the open book and these things that we're feeding on and we're beginning to understand more all the time. It's like, oh my, thank you, Lord. This just gets richer and richer and richer. And it's so beautiful, and it's because it's so personal. This is him and you, him and me, each one in a relationship and an experience in reality with that word opening up. Christ coming down with the open book to each one of us personally. The seals loosed, restoring God and man as one. So that's just kind of in my heart. That's kind of where this started brewing. But as I began to just ponder and pull some things together, I just felt very strongly in my heart, wait a second, time out. What about the young people? And so this is where I'm just praying and trusting with the Lord's help. We can bring this out in a way that begins to somehow mean more and is more understandable for the young people. So with that said, Seth, come on up. He's like, no. It's okay. I have handouts. So there's a portion of my notes, if I can talk, that I would like you guys, it's one page, two-sided. So anybody in this kind of, I would say, middle, the older Sunday school group, just go ahead and give them a copy, please. And then they'll probably have a few left over. So if somebody else wants a copy, they can have it too. But Did you get the back row, and then you got Philip and Matthew and. All right, so we'll give them just a second. All right, so, you know, starting out, I was kind of just thinking about these things, and as I kind of take a step back, I think, how awesome is all of this, and how magnificent, and, you know, I started to kind of ask the question, what if? What if the coming of the Lord was different than we thought it was going to be? What if the rapture is taking place? What if his coming was silent? Uh-oh, you can tell me later, Derek. Probably didn't say, what if his coming was silent, secret, and invisible? What if there was a change happening right now in our hearts and in our minds? What if? So we'll just begin to go into these things tonight. And again, I think my heart for the young people is, I really know that I think so many times some of our terminology can sound different, difficult, confusing. What are all these words, seventh seal, open book? What is going on? What is all this? And I think it can be intimidating sometimes for you guys. And so again, I'm just hoping to kind of go through some of these things, hopefully in a way. Now, in the reality, this is something that takes time. You hold his hand and walk with him, and he'll reveal himself in time. But again, I'm just hoping to hopefully go through this very slow in a simple way that makes sense and is easy to follow. And I'm guilty sometimes of just plowing in and going fast. So if somebody feels like I'm kind of starting to just wave your hands or do something, I'll try to slow down a little bit. So again, the heart and tonight is to just meditate really on this thought of the open book, the seven seals. And with that said, kids, we're going to start, before we get to that actually, I want to kind of lay some groundwork. And I hope, some things, some principles that I think are really important, whether we're approaching this topic or really many other topics in the message, I think it's really important just for you to bear in mind. So would you do me a favor? We're going to follow these along, hopefully go through these one by one slowly, but I would love it if you would just take these home too, read them over and over again, and just spend some time on your own thinking about these. So, number one, always remember anything and everything we stand for, that we believe, we must take back here into the Bible. And we can, thank the Lord. We absolutely can. There's not a thing that we're preaching, that we're standing on, that we're believing that is not based right here. So again, when we start to talk about these things, these different doctrines and teachings, it can maybe sound a little bit confusing or intimidating, but remember, it's all right here in the Bible. And I've got some references there. You could go through some of these if you want. Just go ahead and look up some of those scriptures there that are listed. Next item. So first item. Everybody good? Is that clear? Good, does that make sense? Nice, all right. Second, God has ordained a message or a word for each age. That's important for us to just to remember, really in a number of different ways. And you think about, okay, Moses couldn't preach Noah's message and vice versa. There is a season, there's an age, there's a message for that age and a messenger. And we have to know which age we're in. We have to work and be in that channel that God is working. And we have to understand that. So it's a simple concept, I know, but it comes up in a lot of different ways. And it's always important to just to think about that, to remember what age God is working in, how is he manifesting himself, how is he revealing himself in that age and in this age. With that said, that leads us to the third line, the third bullet. I think you guys know this, but raise your hands, or you don't have to raise your hands. Maybe you don't. There are seven church ages that are spoken of in the book of Revelations. So you can see the different church ages listed there. And to each church age, there's a messenger, an angel. The word in the Bible there is angel. It basically means it's a messenger. So again, important to keep in mind. Again, understanding what day we're living in, the messengers and the different channels God's used down through time. So any comments, thoughts, questions, everybody clear on that? Is that good? Okay. Not going too fast. All right. And then these maybe don't necessarily flow in a particular order. I just put some thoughts down that I had. Another important thing to always remember is when we're talking, many times as we're discussing these things, these messages and these doctrines and these things, it's the word that we're talking about. And it can be easy to kind of get lost, or not lost, but caught up in maybe the technicalities or the facts, however you want to say it. But remember, always remember, the word is a person. It's him. It's who he is. He is the word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And the word was God. So don't ever lose sight of that. We go into these things. We start talking about, teaching about these things in the Bible. It's him. It's a person. That person loves you, and you're a part of him, and he's a part of you. And that's what's so beautiful about all of this. And that's that next point, actually. In all of this, we can get excited because this has everything to do with you, with me. It's not just something you know or something we study. It's a God who has a plan, and a glorious and beautiful plan, and you're a part of it. He wants to reveal himself to you and to redeem, for to bring you to a fullness of redemption and expression. Him being fully expressed, that means you being fully expressed. You're part of that picture. Amen. Okay. Next item. And I will quickly say this. Each one of these things that I put on here could be a series. So I hope I'm not hurting myself or hurting you. I wanted to bring out some points. You could spend a sermon or a series on any one of these. So this is just some. Next one, Alpha and Omega. And maybe you've heard that, but that's Jesus says in Revelations 1:8. He says, I am Alpha and Omega. What does that mean? I am the beginning and the end. Well, there's a lot of ways we can look at that. But in the context of tonight, what I want to draw from that is, you know, we can look at certain characteristics of him in the beginning, certain parts of him in his first coming, and draw a parallel and find some things that are similar in the final ministry, in the end. So it's that beginning and ending, Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, and begin to see parallels and see patterns begin to repeat. So again, I don't want to go too far deep on that one, but that's another thing to keep in mind. And as we go on, I want to hopefully call some of these things out, because you'll see these resonate and you'll see these things in the messages and things that we go into. Next item, always, always, always remember God in the form of. You know, sometimes we actually overcomplicate things ourselves with our own thinking. Many times there's a great deal of simplicity in God and how he works. This is an example. There is one God, period. Now, he may has and does manifest and express himself through time in different forms. So just always remember, God in the form of prophet, pillar of fire, cloud, you name it. God in the form of his church. Okay, God, one God, all the time, wearing different masks. Yeah, that's right. That's good. Yes. Yeah. So, again, God in the form of. Just remember that. Don't come back to that if you need to. Another item, and this is. I didn't list any scriptures. Again, this is so, there's a lot here, but the Son of Man, you guys have heard that, I think. the Son of Man, the Son of Man ministry, in the Luke 17:30 and things speaking of this hour. And you see that, you can go back to the Old Testament and certainly in the New Testament, Son of Man is simply referring to prophetic ministry. So remember that as well, that it, when you, we talk about Son of Man in this day, it's Christ in a prophetic ministry in this day. All right. Pausing. Anything, any questions? Is that clear? Does these things help? Do these things make sense? Good. Okay. All right. Now we're kind of getting into the, a little bit more back into what we're going to look at tonight. And just thinking of the coming of the Lord. And I wanted to bring this out too, because I think it's, I don't want to take it for granted, but we know that Brother Branham and the Bible, he's referring to the scriptures and things, speaks of three comings of Christ. First coming is to redeem his bride. That was Christ. Calvary, the redemptive work. Second coming is for his bride. And that's what applies to us in this day, right now. That's what we're looking at tonight. A little bit, a little teeny bit. Third coming is with his bride to rule and reign on the earth. All right. Kind of went through the list. Is that good? Is that helpful? I just think, again, even tonight, we're going to hopefully apply this and revisit some of these in a certain way, but I just wanted to kind of share those things, and I hope it helps. And there are things I think you can apply all over the place and just, you know, reapply and meditate on. Okay. So I want to share this now. This is kind of leading into more of the thought now of this coming of the Lord, and we're going to get into this. But this is a message. You guys have this in your notes, so you can just follow along with this with me. He says, when I'm standing, my ministry, this is from that time, is different from a pastor or a teacher. He says, if I say things wrong, forgive me, I don't mean it. But this is my ministry. Christian, go ahead and read the rest of that. What's underlined? My ministry is to declare him. So he didn't say that my message tonight. He said my ministry. That's pretty big. My ministry is to point to someone, to introduce someone. My ministry is to declare him that he's here. Now think about John the Baptist. Was John the Baptist's ministry about John the Baptist? No. He was the same thing. He was there to introduce the Messiah. So keep this in mind. This is significant when he says just that simple remark there. My ministry is to declare him that he's here. So there's an introduction taking place. And you see this all over the message. You can see it in titles, sermon titles. Here's just a few that I listed. Who do you say this is? Who is he talking to? And then what's another one? The unrecognized presence of God. Wow, that says it all right there. The unrecognized. So somebody's here. Who's here? Who do you say this is? What's the next one? A greater than Solomon is here. Who is, not who was that Melchizedek, who is this Melchizedek? And on and on and on. Who do you say? Now, how did we start out tonight? Whom do men say that I am? Who do you say? So it's always a gun, another thing I want to just emphasize over and over. It's personal. It's private. It's you and him. Who do you say that this is? Who do men say? Who do you say? All right, next one. He says, Seth, go ahead and read in the next one, the anointed ones. Go ahead and read that first part that's underlined there. What's that? Yes. Beautiful. I wasn't the one appeared down on the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. What is he telling you? This has nothing to do with me. It's him. It's and now let's go back to our notes. Who is he pointing to? Christ. Okay. In what form? Let's go back to that. In what form? In spirit form. So, you know, we asked the question at the beginning, does the coming of the Lord look different than most people thought it would? Yes. Yes. In his first coming, they missed him. They had it all fixed in their mind, all figured out. He's going to come a certain way. Guess what? He came contrary to their thinking, but according to his word, and they missed it. And the same thing has repeated. Alpha, Omega. Alpha and Omega. In the form of Christ, in the form of his spirit here. And it's so beautiful the way the prophet teaches. Think of that great condescending God coming down in human flesh. I love this, how he says this. He wraps himself in that blood cell and lived among us as the Son of God. So when you looked at Jesus, you could say there's God, because God came down in that body, wrapped himself again in that blood cell. And when that blood was shed and it released, think of that, released the life, the Spirit of God to do a work through seven church ages. There you go, through seven church ages. And so you can begin to trace that working, that beautiful life. And that's why you've been hearing a lot about the blood and the word, the blood and the life. There it is. Go right back there to that beautiful principle. God came down in human flesh, wrapped himself in a blood cell. And the blood was shed, and that released that life. Now that life through seven church ages is doing a work of redemption, a full work of redemption. Because the cross paid the price, but that doesn't bring us into full adoption and full maturity and full redemption. There's going to be a full work of restoration, and that's what's tracing and taking place through seven church ages. So I hope that makes sense. All right. Again, I wasn't the one, back to this quote, I wasn't the one that appeared down there. I'm not the one. He's like, I'm just standing here when he does it. It's not me, it's him. Okay, Noah, the last part of that same quote. Go ahead and read that underlined text, would you please? Amen. I'll just repeat that for everybody here that is online or things. He says, he's the one that you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words will fail, but you're feeding on the unfailing body word, the Son of Man. So let's stop and think about that for a minute. What did we just, in our notes earlier, Son of Man, word, all these things. Who is it? It's him in a prophetic ministry here in word form. God, okay, in the form of, remember that? In word form, through a prophetic ministry, revealing himself, bringing us back. Okay, is that making some sense? I hope for everybody, and especially I hope for the young people. I don't want to go over these things too quickly. All right, so now we can talk about a little bit, and again, this is very, I would say, simple. I'm not a teacher or anything, but I'm just sharing what's on my heart. The open book. So let's turn to, well, you can follow along or turn there with me. I'm just going to read this. It's in my notes. So we say the open book. Where does that come from? Well, there's a couple parts to this, and we'll get into this, but we'll just read from Revelations 10 and 1. It says, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. The book is open. Praise the Lord. And he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot upon the earth. All right, now hold that in your heart. Hold that in your mind. Let's go back to the book of Daniel. Because Daniel was a prophet, and he was studying, and he was given visions, and he was seeing a lot of things. But let's turn to Daniel chapter 12. And all right, so again, Daniel was quite the prophet. Let's just see. We'll start with verse 1, Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "And at that time shall Michael the stand up, the great prince with the which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." So you can see through the scriptures different references to this book. "Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to a shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to when? To the time of the end." Wow. "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." And then also to verse 9, he said, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the end time. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. And the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." Wow. So, again, as we read earlier, in Daniel's time, it wasn't time. The words are sealed. It's shut up. It's closed. But in this day, Revelation 10, that book has been opened. And we kind of, again, this is high level and simple. There's so much more we could go into, but I just want to meditate on that for a minute. You have this, I think, in your notes. Is this the Book of Redemption part as well? Okay, so what does this mean, this little book open? Always remember the Bible is full of symbols, types, and shadows. It's especially true in the book of Revelation. So this book is significant. It means something. It represents something. And through the prophetic ministry of Brother Branham in this day, we can understand the seven sealed book is considered in God's mind to be a book of redemption. Thank you, Lord. This book represents the mystery of God and man as one, and men's right and privilege to rule and have dominion over the earth. Man lost access to this when Adam and Eve fell in the garden. Since then, it's been in the hand of God, and there were seven seals hindering or blocking this book from being able to be transferred back to mankind. Now, in this day, the Lamb has broken away the seals and restored back to mankind, to those who can receive it, the ability to bring back God and man as one again. So how is this again? How does this affect me? It has everything to do with you. The open book has everything to do with you and with me. So, and with that restored, with that comes again the ability for man to rule and have dominion as before. So the open book represents a full restoration and a reunion of God and man, a transfer of authority even, and dominion back to man, only through the message in this day. So, how blessed are we? How glorious. Amen. What a day. What an hour we're living in. How amazing these things are. And think of this. This I think, is that where the notes end? Zoe, is that right there? All right, so there's another one. I'm going to go on into some things, but now we have a kind of a setting or I hope some things that kind of help you guys with. When we talk about these things, this is the beauty. This is the significance. And again, I don't think a lot of it's very simple. We, with our brains, sometimes make it complicated, but there's a lot of beauty here in simplicity. But again, this is from Feast of Trumpets. This is amazing. He says, the Holy Spirit has been bound by these denominational rivers for almost 2,000 years, but is to be loosed in the evening time. Think of that. So think of that. Loosed in the evening time, by the evening time message, the Holy Spirit back in the church again. So because of errors, because of seven church ages, six church ages, and all the things that transpired, he was not free. But now in this day, think of him being freed and loosed in this day to come into a people through this ministry, through this word opened up, and to express, to gain that preeminence and to reveal himself. Excuse me. All right, we're kind of moving along. Let's just go through some scriptures. These are familiar, but I hope to strike a point here in this old. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. I'm just going to. And this is really this. There's a lot here that we should. Oh, yeah. Okay. So we'll start with verse 1. We'll read the first few verses. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Let's just hold that up for a minute. Because again, this fits perfectly in with everything we just talked about. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Go ye out to meet him. I have a question. It says, go get you and your friends out to meet him. No, it says, go ye. Go you out to meet him. How many are there? There's 2. There's you and him. Go out to meet him. It's private, it's personal, it's individual. And each one of us must go beyond the veil of human flesh and experience him. How? In spirit form, in his word, in this hour, in communion, a spiritual communion. All right, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4. I'll try to go through these pretty quickly. All right, kids. I have a question. Let's get there first. Okay, is anybody familiar with 1 Thessalonians 4:16? Let me just go ahead and read it. It says, actually, we'll start with verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Anybody read that before? In the world around you, this, you know, as Brother Branham teaches so beautifully, mankind is always looking back. It was in the past and looking ahead into the future, missing what's happening right now. Did you know that this verse, verse 16, has happened and is happening? It's present tense. Also, it kind of ties right in. Drop down to chapter 5 and verse 2 says, verse 1, of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So the coming of the Lord, as we just read about, and then this verse, it's when a thief comes, it's undetected, it's secret, it's unknown, it's he's giving us, we can put these things together and understand the coming of the Lord again is something that's not what we thought it was going to be. It's secret, and it's a secret thing. All right, over into 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm just going to read verse 1 here. But it says, but now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we go, all these things, the coming of the Lord, in this hour, by the coming of the Lord and our gathering together unto him. So what does that tell you? What is the coming of the Lord going to do? What is it going to produce? You united with him. There's a gathering and a uniting that happens as a result of this coming in this hour. The spiritual coming of Christ in this day through the ministry of the seventh angel, and you meet up with him. You're caught up with him. Isn't that beautiful? All right, a couple more. Revelation chapter 3. I think this is I'm just going to kind of skim to the end, but I think this is so rich. I was watching, listening to another brother that actually brought this out recently. Revelation. Let me get there. Revelation chapter 3, end of Revelation 3. So this, kids, is the, starting in verse 14, it talks about to the angel, right? The messenger of the church of Laodicea. So this is the Laodicean age. The very bottom of verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him." Wow, that's beautiful and that's interesting. So we're seeing in all these scriptures certain patterns we can begin to look at. He's saying, "I'm here. I stand at the door and knock." And he says, "Well, you know what? I want to tell you something. Come, if you'll let me in. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him." So again, we can see a union taking place. We can see Christ present. In the previous ages, you will go through the different words to the each messenger to each age, and he says, "Lest I come, I will come." Here he says, "I'm here, I'm standing, I'm knocking. Will you open up? Will you hear my voice?" And because he's now here present, he's come down in this day. We now see, following right after this, is Revelation chapter 4, 1. He says, "I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were the sound of a trumpet talking with me, which said, 'Come up higher, I will show you things to come.'" So he's here, and he's wooing us up into a place with him, saying, "Come up with me. Come into a place where I am, and I will show you things to come." All right. We're kind of getting along here. So I hope, is this making some sense? I think the beauty here that I'm really trying to capture and savor and meditate on again is just the beauty of this word in this hour, of the open book, the seventh seal, the coming of the Lord. And what, again, kids, go back to our notes. What does this really mean? What does this look like? In what form is he here? Brother Branham actually preaches a beautiful message called "Christ is Revealed in His Own Word." So he's actually referring to the picture of Hoffman's Head of Christ. You guys have seen that, and it's Christ in the Beatitudes, and he says, "There he is, drawn in his own word, sitting in his own word." And that's the basis, the inspiration for that message. Christ is revealed in his own word. So combining, tying all these things together, behold, the bridegroom comes. Go ye out to meet him. How do I meet him? He's in here in his word. He's here in a supernatural, spiritual sense in his word, waiting for you to open up and to receive him. And even in just a few more things, he says in the message rapture, he says he's referring actually to that we read First Thessalonians 4:16. He says three things happen: a voice, a shout, a trumpet has to happen before Jesus appears. He does all three of them when he's descending. Okay, a shout. What is the shout? Remember we read that a minute ago? 1 Thessalonians 4. What is the shout? It's the message going forth first, the living bread of life, bringing forth the bride. Mm. Oh my goodness. We could go on. I'm going to kind of pause there. I know it's hard. It's a little, getting a little bit late, and I'm feeling hot myself. How are you guys doing? Oof. I don't know how I kept this jacket on, but I did. Oh my. Just one more thing. As I was mentioning, things that are to be, I love this because he's referencing, he says, you know, I had these different ideas of what heaven was. But he says that was a conception they had before the fullness of the word came into existence. The fullness of the word came into existence. Or the opening of the seven seals. So what happened? Something happened. Something changed. That was a conception they had before the fullness of the Word came into existence. Who's here? In what form is he here? How do you go out to meet him? In the Word. That's where he is for this day. Amen. What a beautiful word. What a beautiful hour. Amen. And I feel like a terrible job explaining some of these things, but I'm trusting the Lord broke something open to somebody, and it was a blessing, and these things thrill my heart. Amen. I love it. I love it. I love it. Again, it has everything to do with you, and it's not just head knowledge. It's not just knowing the right buzzwords. This is all in the Scripture, all things that he has fulfilled and is fulfilling in this day. Yeah. He's inviting us to come, even as this prophet said, come be a partaker of all that I am. He's here in the fullness of his word. Go ye out to meet him. It came in an unexpected way, in a secret spiritual happening that's only between you and him. Go ye out to meet him. I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord and our gathering together unto him. It's you and it's him. Private, personal, individual. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, all we can do is just bow before you in love and admiration, Father, for your grace in this hour, the things that you are doing, the things you made known to us that by your grace we're a part of, Lord. Truly, human words fail, but pray that in each of our hearts that you would be glorified, and that we would each one find ourselves in such a love affair with you in this hour. Coming down with that open book, Lord. And it's here that we're drawn into you. It's here that we meet you. It's here that the full restoration back into the what man lost. The fullness of the reality of God and man is one. Lord, you're doing it, and we love you. We just pray that somehow that you, with your, as only you can, Lord, we would just minister these things to each and every heart and reveal them in a new way, quicken them deeper. We ask. We give you all thanks and praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right. Who has a song? I've got. Again, there's never been a day like this day. Would you stand with me? Let's worship the Lord for. There's never been a day like this day to me. Christ is revealed himself unto me. He's opened my eyes, and now I can see. His word is becoming a I sing praises to your name. I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name. Thank you, Lord. Anybody in need of anything tonight, any kind of prayer, anything we can lift up and remember? Great is his love for you. Amen. So great. Just if you take nothing else away, take that. He loves you so much. He wants inside of you. He wants. You're a part of what he is doing.
Amen.
What he wants to do. Just all you got to do is open up that door and say yes, Lord. So many times I think we try to get better and fix things. He says, no, just surrender. Just yield. Let me do what I can, only I can do. All right. All right, Nate, would you close for us?
Thank you so much, Lord, for the power of your word.
Amen.
And for the power of revelation to open our eyes to it. And for the life that comes to make it real. And Lord, we just pray that as we take these things in, Lord, that they would just find a home and produce life. We don't learn them just to be smarter than somebody else or to have a head knowledge. We're not looking to just get to a place of enlightenment. We believe that it's you, it's your life, it's your person, and that it's having a work inside of us. And so we just pray that have freedom. Trim away anything in our lives, Lord, that shouldn't be there. And help us to surrender more each day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.